Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. This broadcast is Across the Border, and this is a live weekly prophecy reality edition. And let's see, today we're going to talk about the mark of the beast, where we are in prophecy, maybe look at Revelation chapter 13 a little bit. We'll look at comments, questions from the chat room and that I have in emails and other places. And your participation would be welcome. Come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net and join the conversation. Let's see. Let's start with Revelation chapter 13 and verse 15. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast. Now, if you've read my book or you've listened to my broadcast at all, you would realize, and I believe there's few other people saying the same thing out there, but I believe I make my case quite clearly and succinctly, and I don't believe that my case, the case that I make, can be excluded from the scripture itself. So I think it should be taken seriously that the United Nations is the image of the beast, the image that the second beast created to the first beast. So the second beast of Revelation chapter 13, that is, creates an image to the first beast of Revelation chapter 13, which is the fourth beast that are enumerated in Daniel and, well, in Daniel anyway. And it's an image because it's something that looks like the Holy Roman Empire. It looks like Rome looked, okay? But it's only an image of it. But then again, it's sometimes somewhat greater than the Roman Empire because it encompasses the entire planet, the whole world. So that is the image of the beast. So if you haven't read that yet, you could go to, you could go to jorgeapocalyptike.wordpress.com, click on the volume 3 table of contents there and scroll down to chapter 10 and you'll find the posting there that says Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. And that'll explain it. And that's the chapter that I have posted there. And also you'll find in my book the same information in a different format. Okay. So now that we understand what the image of the beast is, the image of the beast is an image created by the earth beast of Revelation chapter 13 of the sea beast of Revelation chapter 13. And the scripture says that he had power to give life to the image of the beast. Does the image of the beast have life? Does the United Nations live? Is it alive? It's alive. Yes, it is alive. Yes, it may be like Frankenstein's monster, but it is alive. Yeah, that the image of the beast should both speak, and it caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Let me ask you something. Where do your rights come from? Do your rights come from God or government? Now, most of the world today, at least half of the world, at least, maybe more, maybe less, I don't know exactly, would say that their rights come from the world because they deny God. Can they say, well, my rights come from evolution? They just evolved out of the earth? No, your rights come from one. Because if they come from God, then no man has the right to take another man's rights away. If they come from government, well, then the government tells you what your rights are, and they can take them away and change them anytime they want. And if your rights come from government, if you say that, then that means that you worship government, government is your god, and you worship the beast. You are a worshiper of the beast, and you are in grave and mortal, not just mortal danger, but you are in grave and immortal danger if you worship the beast. So he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So there is going to be a price to pay if you do not worship the image of the beast. There already is a price to pay. I know that because I don't worship the image of the beast, and I'm already losing rights and privileges and immunities at law. Because the laws or the speaking power of the image of the beast and the beast powers that are present on the earth are taking those rights away from me and those privileges and immunities away from me because I will not worship the beast, because I will not acquiesce to the contract that the beast has held out, which most people worldwide have already acquiesced to without even a thought, without even considering it, without looking at it and saying, is this something that I should be a participant in? They don't even realize that they're participating in an agreement or a contract. But because if you don't, and most people will sign up just so they can get the privileges and immunities and restored. And now we're getting into a time. We're in day 254 of the 2020 panic, the 2020 pandemic panic. That's what it is. Is there a pandemic? Well, there's a pandemic of abortions. I mean, if as many people were dying of abortions as are dying of, or as many people are dying of some disease or virus as there were dying of abortions, then we would definitely have a pandemic. But it's not so. It is not so. What it is it's a red herring. It is, they have brought this about, the Antichrist and his shadow government, and their unwitting minions out there. There's a lot of those unwitting minions who have no idea what they're doing, but they're participating in it. This is all about the Great Reset. That's what it's all about. If you haven't heard about the Great Reset yet, you're going to hear about it pretty soon. And eventually, it's going to come down to you're going to need a pass. You're going to need your COVID pass to get into a store, to travel, to go anywhere. And we'll see. Eventually, from what it says here, that as many as would not worship, obey, because obedience is the highest form of worship, my friends. You don't have to love and adore the image of the beast and the beast government. You don't have to love and adore Satan to worship him. He just wants your obedience. And that's what a lot of what's going on out there in the world. I don't need to name what's going on out there, you know, but they want compliance. They want obedience. They want to train you to be obedience so that you'll walk into total obedience without a second thought. But the elect, there's a different kind of people out there. There's a people that are born again, and they're born not of this world. Just like Jesus was not born of this world. When we're born again, we're born again, but we're not born of this world. We are born of the Spirit. That's right. We have a spiritual birth, and they are the elect of God. And there are some out there that haven't experienced that birth yet, that haven't felt it, and we're trying to reach those. We don't know who they are, you know, so we have to reach out to everybody, and we find out who they are, those ones that are covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, people want to argue the point, well, potentially everyone's covered by the blood of Jesus, and we'll find out who potentially who they are when Christ returns, who was covered by his blood at least up to that time when he returns, because they will all be raised from the dead or changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when he returns. And that's coming soon, right? But before that comes, we have some prophecy, some future history. That's it, because that's what prophecy is. It's history in advance. We have some history, future prophecy to fulfill in the interim. And that's where we're at right now. That's why we have this final push. The beast, the image, the image of the beast speaketh, and it says, we want it by 2030. We have our 2030 agenda. Yeah. That's what the image that speaks says. See, had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And the image has spoken, and it says it's spoken to us, and it has spoken its 2030 agenda. And the world was not moving fast enough. So they came up with a couple scenarios over the last decade, a couple of which they kind of had little trial runs on here in the last few years. And they decided to push. Now it's time. We got 10 years left to meet the image has spoken, the 2030 agenda of the image, which it has spoken to us. And it said, we need to push or we're not going to get this by 2030. And so they're pushing now, and it looks like they're going to get it. That's right. You know, we talked about the 2018 being a date that they tentatively set back in 1980, and they published it on one of their journals, the Economy magazine. I forget what it's called already. But yeah, that one, where they said in 30 years, and that was in 1988, I believe, and then 30 years later, 2018, and it wasn't happening fast enough. They couldn't make it happen, so they had to push. And what's going on now is their perfect opportunity. And it's working very well for them. It seems like half the people, yeah, just get in line. I mean, I'm going to a Baptist church over here. They're open every Sunday against the governor, the Jesuit governor's order. You know, the one of the Antichrist's sub-lieutenants there that he has installed in the government, the image of called the state of California. You know, your governments are images. Did you know that? Yeah. The state of California is an image. It's called a fiction. A fiction is like an image. Yeah. And so the state of government floating above the land here, well, the Antichrist has one of his lieutenants installed here, and openly Antichrist, openly, you know, trained at, you know, one of the Jesuit Antichrist universities, and he's in lockstep. You know, remember they had the lockstep operation simulation in 2019, or was that 2018? Well, in the last year or so. Okay, where they pulled off the scenario that they're pulling off. And so you can tell who's working directly for the Antichrist, or at least who's under the control of the Antichrist, because they are in lockstep. And most of them are Democrats, and then some of them are Republicans. You know, wicked and evil men come in from all parties. Yes, they do. And why am I laughing? Is it really funny? No, it's not really funny, but it's something to behold. And we can laugh about it because we know the end. You know, we are the elect of God, and we know the end of the story. We may be killed, yeah, for our stand and our belief, because the scripture says that some of us are going to be, and hundreds of millions have laid down their lives. And why did they lay down their mortal lives? Because we're all going to lay down our mortal life anyway. But we have faith. And we live by that faith. And that faith is in eternal life through Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead. and we long for and we look for and we hope and we pray for his appearing. And that's going to come soon. Hopefully, I'll live long enough and it'll be in my lifetime. And in yours, especially if you're younger. Hopefully, you'll live long enough to see it too. So I think, you know, if about 2055, I don't know the exact year, I can't say, but I'm going to say about 2055, we will have been on this earth from Adam, almost 6,000 years will be complete. And we will get into the year 6001, which will be the first year of the seventh millennium, which is supposed to be the Sabbath millennium from creation, which will be the millennial reign of Jesus Christ when he appears with all his saints as prophesied in the scripture over and over and over again from Old Testament prophets to the revelation of Jesus Christ. He will appear with his saints, and that is all of his elect will appear with him. And then we will rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. That is the millennial reign of Christ. Now, I had a question here, or a comment in one of my YouTube videos, and this is from Anvil Striker. That's the name in the YouTube comment section, so we don't know his real name is Anvil Striker. Could be. Yeah. It's a pretty classy name. He says, there's only one resurrection to eternal life. He has a series of comments here he left on my page, and you can guess what it was about. It was about the millennial and the return of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And so he's made this comment, there's only one resurrection to eternal life. I agree with that statement, okay? With the exact wording of that statement, I agree, because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he is the one. There is only one resurrection to eternal life, and it is Jesus Christ. Now, I think what he meant to say, but he couldn't say it explicitly because it's not explicitly said that way in the scripture. He meant to say there's only one resurrection event to eternal life, but that would be an assumption, a presumption, because I see that there are two resurrections, okay? There's only one first resurrection, but there is a second resurrection. And at that second resurrection, some will go to eternal life and some to damnation. Is this my regular caller? Let me check. Let's see. Your name and where you're calling from. Yeah, must be my regular weekly caller. The phone rings. Okay, I'm going to stop taking phone calls if this is the only guy that's going to call in. Because I like people. I like two-way conversations. If it's going to be one way, then I don't need a phone for that. I'm doing fine here. Okay, so anyway, Anvil Striker says, he says, there's only one resurrection to eternal life. When do the surviving mortals receive eternal life? That's the question he asks, because he sets it up saying there's only one resurrection. When he means to say there's only one resurrection event, but to eternal life. But that would be, like I said, an assumption. When do these surviving mortals, and okay, these would be the surviving mortals who live through the return of Christ into the millennium, okay? And then they live in the millennia, during the millennial reign of Christ. They, of course, have children and procreate, and some of them will come to Christ and some of them will not. I mean, it is explicit in the scripture. Jesus talked about people that would sin in the age to come, but that even in the millennium, people would sin and blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and that sin wouldn't be forgiven, not in this age or in the age to come, which would be the millennial reign of Christ, meaning that there would be sinners present. So we know it's not talking about the new heaven and new earth, because there will be no sin in the new heaven and new earth, because all of these things are going to be done away with. So there will be mortals, and they will sin. Some may even perhaps blaspheme the Holy Spirit, for which there is no forgiveness, Jesus said. Okay? When do they receive eternal life? Well, they receive it from Jesus, because he is the resurrection and the life, just like we receive eternal life. I have eternal life now. Okay? I have received it already now. But my mortal body still has to die. It still has to be planted in the ground. Either that, or if I live until Christ returns, then it'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when the dead in Christ are raised, and then those of us who are alive and remain will be changed, and we will meet them in the air with Christ when he returns. That's what the scripture explicitly states. So I believe that. So people that live over into the millennium, mortals, or people that are born subsequent to the return of Christ, from, you know, children of the people that lived into the millennium, they will still need to accept Christ. They will still need to hear the gospel. Okay? And some of them will receive the gospel, and some of them will not. I write about that in my book. The last two chapters on this, chapter 13 and... Yeah, here it is right here. Chapter 12, The Millennium Question. And chapter 13, Prospects for the Unfulfilled Future. And I talk about that which is yet to come, the alien invasion and great battle, and the blessed epoch. And that's what we're talking about, the blessed epoch, the millennial reign of Christ. It will be an epoch unlike any previous epoch. And we've had a lot of epics. We've had a lot of those. It seems that every epoch was totally unlike the previous one. Like you had the antediluvian, the pre-flood epoch. What came after that was totally different. Totally. And then you moved on, then there was a nation of Israel, that epoch where God had a nation of people. And that lasted up until Christ returns. Then we got a new epoch. We could call it the church age for the last 2,000 years. Totally different. And so we're going to get another epic, a 1,000-year epic, already pre-told, prophesied to us in the scripture, the millennial reign of Christ. Totally different epic than any of the others. And then after that, we have a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't call that an age like the rest of the ages, because all of the other ages that were before that, of this creation, they had a beginning and an end. And the millennial reign of Christ will have a beginning and it will have an end. And at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, this creation that we know of that will have lasted 7,000 years, the whole week of 1,000-year days, will come to an end, and it will vanish in a flame of fire, like a vapor. It will vanish away, and then there will be a new heaven and new earth where all of the elect of God will live with him for eternity. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, welcome back. Here I am going on and on. And, this must be my test. Your name and where you're calling from?
Hello.
Oh, see, it does work. Who is this?
Dave Martin, I'm from Oklahoma.
Oh, thank you for calling in, Dave. Oh, so there is, I do have a ghost caller who calls me every week and says nothing. I was afraid my phone wasn't working. Were you just giving me a test here? Or do you have something to say? Were you just giving me a sound test, or did you have a question or comment?
Well, I did. I guess I have a question too, though. I think in your book you said something about the beast and the there seems to be a sequence. You know, you've got, and I guess maybe they're all the same identity anyway. You've got the old one in the 12. It was the dragon, and then you had the one with the, now, these are all the 10 horns and 5 heads.
Right, and yeah, 7 heads, yeah.
It's confusing to me when the one head died, because some people say that, well, that happened when Rome went to, from the emperors to the papal power.
Right.
And other people say it was when, the French...
Yeah, I'm familiar with all of that. What was your name again?
Took over. So I don't know someone's really maybe studied it out.
Did you say this was, this is Patrick?
This is Dave.
Oh, Dave. Okay, I thought, yeah, didn't know which name I was hearing. Okay, Dave, that's a good question. You want to hold on, or you want me to answer that off the air?
You can just answer on the air.
Okay, all right. I appreciate that, Dave. That's a very good question. Thank you. Okay, well, that is a good question, and here's the way I look at that, because I've come across that myself. But there were authors that wrote before the French Revolution, so it would be easy to posit that change would look like something like the fall of the Roman Empire to the ten horns, where it changed to the ten horn power. Okay, and that would have been at the beginning of the papal reign. And then others say that it happened later, that head was wounded at the French Revolution rather than the first time. I tend to go with the later one, because the papal head, because I believe that represents the little horn power, or the papal head. Patrick says, I bet the mystery caller is a Jesuit. Oh, the Jesuits don't know I exist. Who knows? Maybe it is. Yeah, but they call every week only during my show, because I answer this phone all week, and there's always someone there when during the rest of the week when someone calls in. But anyway, going back to, Dave's question there, the papal head, the wounded head, okay, and the deadly head being healed. I put that with the French Revolution myself, and I believe I don't know. It seemed like Dave the caller was familiar with my book. I don't know which book it was. I go into I think a lot more depth in my latest book. Of course, I would have to, since it is my latest book. And I hope that would, that would answer all your questions there. But there are those, and especially those that deny the papal reign, the 1260-year papal reign, they would want to fix the deadly head wound being at the beginning of the papal reign rather than the end of the 1260-year reign. But that really would be the difference, where it is placed and who places it there and what reason they place it. But definitely that the little horn, of the ten horn power that rose up, there's a little horn that rose up and subdued three and pretty much took prominence. That would be the papacy and its 1260-year reign, the 1260-year reign of the Antichrist. And at the end of that, it received a wound by the sword, as it were to death. But it wasn't deadly, but it seemed deadly. Okay? And then we have the enigma, the wording that says, was and is not, yet is. And I believe that describes the era since the head wound and even today of the beast that was and is not, yet is. And I believe vicariously rules the world now and through the image of the beast and through Washington, D.C. I believe that describes that today, but I believe that papal wound has been healed, but that the man of sin will never rule any way or overtly as he did during the 1260-year reign. But it'll always be was and is not, yet is, that mystery ruling or shadow government. I think that's probably the best description of the shadow government, if we were to give another name to it, of that power that is and was not, was and is not, yet is. That describes the shadow government that rules for the Antichrist today, I think, very well. Okay. I hope that helps with your query there, David. Let's see what else. People are tricked. I wouldn't close my business. Yeah, I wouldn't do it either. The little block on the right isn't working. Oh, yeah. Okay, so no more questions in the chat room there. But hey, it's that easy. You could call in, and it would be nice to have so many calls that the one from my weekly ghost caller doesn't faze me at all. So was and is not, yet is, means that it is the papacy through the governments they control. I believe so. I mean, looking at the world around me, it seems very fitting that it is the Antichrist and his shadow government, that he rules vicariously through the image of the beast. And that's, I believe that's what's being described as we're reading through Revelation chapter 13, you know, where it says, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast. And so this image of the beast is created for the papal government. And, you know, you see the pictures that flash up on the screen behind me or during the breaks and stuff. You see the one of the Pope speaking before the great august body of the United Nations, that image through which he seems to rule the world to me, and everything's going that way. And they have their 2030 agenda. Now we're in the Great Reset, because they needed a Great Reset, because things were not going fast enough. And I believe they're going fast enough now. What do you guys think? you think things are going fast enough for the Antichrist and his shadow government to make their 2030 deadline their agenda? And then also we got the Temple Mount play. You know, you've got the thing going on, the Abraham Accord sweeping the Middle East, and soon the Abraham Accord will be on the Temple Mount. That's what I described in my book, although they call it the Abraham Accord now. It wasn't called that then, but that's what I described in my book. When the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. So, and anyone can get a free copy of that. Okay, well, let's hope we got a real caller this time again. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Hey, Bill.
Really, I'm having some problems. I don't get enough sleep. I got another kind of guy keeps beating me in the head. But it's Peter, 2 Peter 3.
Okay.
Verse 10. And try to coordinate this with the resurrection. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, where in
the coming day of God.
What's that?
Well, King James says the coming day of God. But yeah, the same thing, basically.
Coming of the day of God, wherein the heaven shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the helmet shall melt with fervent heat. Does that happen in 7,000? 6,000? Well, where is that?
Okay. Let's see. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So, when you read that, you have to be not ignorant that the day that he's speaking of, and he's calling the day of God and the day of the Lord, okay, is 1,000 years day. And now you harmonize that with chapter 20 of the Revelation, and you understand that all of the things being spoken of here will happen over that 1,000 years day of God. Because you can't forget, he says, be not ignorant of this one thing. So we don't want to immediately forget what he just told us to not be ignorant of as we read on the next four verses. Okay,
because yeah, I know one thing is, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. How do you come in a thief of the night in 1,000 years?
The day, okay. Well, that's a good question, you know, but that doesn't change that this 1,000 years is, this is 1,000 years day. Okay. Specifically told not to be ignorant of that one thing.
Ignorant of this one thing, the 1,000 years.
Oh, that's verse 8. Two verses before where you started reading.
Oh.
Okay, he says, be not ignorant. So as we read on, we're to not be ignorant of what he just told us to not be ignorant of. We can't forget it. When we're reading of the day of the Lord, it's 1,000 years day.
Oh. So, one more thing I wanted to ask. There's a passage in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, is called, as in the spirit of the Lord's day, John is saying.
Okay.
And I remember you did something, a study, you said that was the Sabbath. How did you get that?
Okay, so I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard a great voice as of a trumpet. Well, I guess that would be an assumption because I don't know, what is the Lord's day?
Is that the first day when he rose from the dead, or is that the Sabbath?
Well, that's a good question, because I don't believe that is explicitly stated anywhere. So that may be an opinion. It could be either or. I don't know. I have to be honest about that. I don't know, because there's no explicit statement on that in the scripture. So it would be an assumption. Or another thing is, every day is the Lord's day, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, that's...
So there you have three choices now. It could be every day is the Lord's day, or it could be the Sabbath, or it could be the first day of the week. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. You had something else?
I have one more thing. I'm trying to figure out when you call it this great reset. So everybody who has a Social Security number, they just say, no, don't send me a Social Security check. I got a $4 million. That's okay. And now I won't get the mark or whatever. I'll be out of the system. But people who are really desperately poor, they're going to be damned. How's that work?
Well, I don't think people are going to be damned because they're desperately poor. That wouldn't work. No, it's all about what you worship, you know? And I don't know how this is going to play out on an individual basis for everyone on the earth. All I know is we individually need to be obedient to God. And that if you have to stop taking government benefits, then the Spirit of God will speak to you, or they'll cut you off or something. I don't know exactly how this is going to play out for each individual. All I know is for me, you know, I chose many, many years ago. I felt I was led by the Lord, but I really can't tell anybody else that they have to do what I'm doing. But I can tell you that you individually need to be obedient to God. And whatever that requires in the future for you on an individual basis, then that's what you should do. And I know there's some things that we all should be doing or shouldn't be doing. You know, we have negative and positive commandments, mostly negative in the scripture, of the things that we shouldn't do. And if we love God and want to please Him, then we're going to be obedient to Him to the best of our ability. And if we're not able, then we rely on the Holy Spirit to make us able.
This great reset, you said something about people are going to get a tag or a number to go places. Is that the mark you think it was?
Well, it sounds like a mark to me. Well, you got this Luciferase tattoo that they want to give everybody. That's where it's going. It can be read with a, you know, they have those QR code readers on your phones, and so they can pick this up. You can pick it up with a phone or with a smartphone or with readers at the store or whatever, because they want to get rid of all cash so that everyone has to be a participant in their Mark of the Beast system. I will not. I refuse to be tattooed and marked, even for monetary gain. You know, if I have to become a vagabond in the earth and rely solely on the Lord to provide my food for me, then that's what I'll do. And if they want to kill me for not receiving it, then I'll let them kill me, whatever. I mean, I'll prevent it as much as I can. But, you know, hundreds of millions of God's people have been killed in the past for not going along with the Antichrist and his schemes, for not capitulating to the Antichrist in his schemes. Hundreds of millions throughout a 1,260-year period. Well, that the scripture says here, he says in Revelation chapter 13, it says he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. He said power, that they should be killed, whoever not worship. Well, the mark of the beast has always been here in one form or another. But this form, this form that we see, that has been prophesied and that we see developing, is the final form. This is the one where this scripture fits. You can't buy or sell. You won't be able to buy or sell. I mean, that's why I'm still using cash as much as I can. When they say no more cash and everyone must participate, I will not. And that will be up to you individually, whether you will or not also.
Oh, so am I supposed to be doing things like putting things away so I can survive this mark of the beast?
Well, it seems that would be wise to, like, you know, put up some rice and beans and... you know, whatever, some source of water. I mean, you do whatever you can, but still we rely on God. Like I said, hundreds of millions have been killed in the past or suffered want because of their stand for Christ in the past. I can't see how it will be any different for us once they start the Mark of the Beast Inquisitions.
Just when I think, if you have gold or something, is that worth anything at this time?
Well, yeah. I mean, there will always be an underground economy, a black market economy. And if that's what we have to survive on in these last days, then I'm prepared as much as I can be for that. I mean, I have some silver coins and stuff, you know. I'm not rich, but I have a little bit, you know, and I always have more beans and rice that for I have several months' supply of beans and rice and food, so that I can, you know, until I can find more store supplies or whatever. Or, I mean, they might start rounding people up. That probably be one of the first, since I'm out there, and they know who I am. So, but whatever. I mean, if they kill me, well, I just go to the resurrection that much sooner. That's all.
One last thing. I noticed they have these requirements on these smartphones, and I don't know how to work it very well. But I have this flip phone, and on a flip phone, you can't do all these things. So if I don't want a video conference, I can just go back to my flip phone because I don't have the ability.
Well, yeah, I know I have friends who use flip phones. I know that if you have an Apple phone, they're already putting the track and trace software on for you automatically, whether you want it or not, if you have an iPhone.
I don't have that.
Yeah, well, some people do. I don't. I have a stupid Android phone myself, and I won't allow that on there. But, you know, if I have to stop using the phone, then I won't use it, you know. I mean, whatever. It doesn't, you know, if I have to go off the grid, or because I think soon enough, probably by 2030, just to connect to the internet, you're going to have to scan your QR code or your Lucifer Taze code. Because, I mean, they are even saying for people that are participating in remote learning, you know, for the public schools and universities, that you have to have the vaccine to remote learn. So, yeah, so they're going to make you scan.
You have to get the shot in order to get an education?
That's right. Or go to work or all these corporations. At first, they're going to roll it out through all the corporations and all the stores to enter in. You got to have, and I believe that's coming by next summer. Because they have to roll out the vaccine first, and they have to have enough for everyone to get it. And that's going to take years. So thankfully, this stuff takes years to do. They say by next summer, they're going to have 150 million doses of the vaccine. And that's not enough for everybody in, you know, on the planet or the country. But so they're going to start with what they say is the people who need it the most first, the old people like me. But whatever, I'm not getting it.
Before I go, I just had one question. Do you know how Tom Prest is doing?
No, I've sent him emails. I haven't got any responses from him, so I don't know how he's doing. I know his health was poor when he stopped broadcasting with us. So, and I pray for him, you know, continually. Hey, I'm going into a break, and I'll be back after some news, Bill. Thanks for the call, man. Bye-bye. Okay, I will be back in a few minutes, and anyone else can call in just like Bill did when we get back from the news. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and the year is 2020, and this is Panic Day 254. And really, it is the lockstep march to the Mark of the Beast. And they are not giving up. They're reinstituting lockdowns, and they intend to have to meet their 2030 deadline for the Great Reset, which is the part that they're doing now, is a Great Reset. You can go to World Economic Forum on the internet and find all about the Great Reset. Here's what they say. You will own nothing and you will be happy. How could you be happy with owning nothing? I'm happy I have property and I don't have a landlord, because if you own nothing, then it says you will rent everything. That means you will be a slave to those that do own everything, because somebody's going to own everything. It's just not going to be you, but you will be happy. Don't forget, you will be happy. And if you're not happy, then we will make you be happy. We'll send you into a re-education camp. Something wrong with the way you think. If you will own nothing and you will not be happy. Okay? Then there's something wrong with you. Okay? We're gonna make you be free to be happy and own nothing. Yes, Klaus Schwab, yeah. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Go to their website, the World Economic Forum. Let's see, I'm subscribed to their newsletter. I get in my, every week I get stuff in my mailbox, my inbox. Let's see, I probably got something here right now. I usually just delete it, but I look at it sometimes, because it just, you know, hey, it is the New World Order. They do work for the Antichrist. They have his goals in mind. And that's the shadow government is in the shadows everywhere. Yeah. And if you can't see it, then ask God to open your eyes to the truth. And the most important thing, of course, is, that you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, that you become one of His, yeah, and start walking in faith. Read your Bible and ask God to reveal Himself to you. There's nothing more important than that. Because if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what have you gained? You know, the whole world, it goes, everything you gain is lost when you go to the grave. Need to sow in a kingdom that extends beyond the grave, that extends into eternity. So that's the most important thing. So here we are, Panic Day, the great panic of 2020. Hey, maybe we have an actual caller here. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air with Nicholas. Yes, it's my shadow ghost caller. He's back. Yes, God must really love me. I mean, you know, thank you for paying attention to my broadcast and calling in every week. You know, I just pray for your soul that God might enlighten you. My shadow, my ghost caller there, yeah, that He might open your eyes to the truth of His word and enlighten your mind and change your heart, that you might receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. I pray all that for you and everyone else out there, to boot. Yeah. Everyone out there. I mean, that's why I do this broadcast. That's why I administer at firstamendmentradio.net and the programming that I bring, that we have there. You know, it's all for one thing, to bring people to repentance and to cross the border into the kingdom of God. That's what the name cross the border means to me. It's just another way of expressing the gospel message, you know, that Jesus preached. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Cross the border, for the kingdom is at hand. How do you cross that border? Well, repentance is the key. Yeah, that's it. All right, let me check out the chat room. Thank Dave and Bill for calling in the first hour. I appreciate that. So we know the phone is working. The ghost caller does not prevail. Yes. Let's see. Stash those things up in the mountains where you'll... Yeah, thank you, WW. That's Thomas over there on the other coast. I know him personally. Came and visited me one day, or for a few days or something, way back when, years ago. The newer phones don't have removable batteries, so they can track while the phone is off. Yeah, I have a MacBook, and it doesn't have a removable battery, though I've opened it up and taken the battery out or disconnected it before to restart it once. It wouldn't start back up. So I disconnected the battery and plugged it back in, and it reset. So anyway, yeah, the newer phones, why should they remove those batteries? Now, I'll bet you those iPhones don't have removable batteries. I know mine does. I can take the back off and remove the battery. But they sell that sleeve, that Faraday cage pouch. You could make your own Faraday cage pouch. Also, I hear that putting them in a microwave blocks them. But unless you cook it, then it won't work anymore. So you could use your microwave. I hear it makes a great Faraday cage. Or if you have an old microwave that's unplugged and doesn't work anymore, you could use it. But you can't carry that around in your pocket. But when you do, and it says, let's see, someone said, you can't be tracked while it's in the sleeve. Yeah, that's true, Bob. That's what the whole Faraday cage in your pocket is all about. And you can test that yourself. You know, you can test whether it's on when it's in the sleeve or not, because it'll tell you that it can't find your connection unavailable while it's in the sleeve. Let's see. Oh, new restrictions started in Colorado last night at 5 p.m. You can't use... Oh, no. You can't use it in... Okay. Then you're probably safe. Yeah, that's true. Somebody says... Let's see. My phone doesn't... It can't be tracked if you can use it. Yeah. Yeah, your cell phone. Oh, someone says, if you make a call, is there a time limit where you can keep it below that limit to avoid a trace, mercury falling? Yeah. No, if the minute you make a call, the minute you connect, your phone has a special ID. It's like every computer on the internet has an address. And as soon as your address pings, as soon as they ping, they know where you're at. They can trace your phone immediately. It'll pop up on their screen if they're looking for your address or your phone. As soon as you use it, they'll know where you're at. But you can turn it off and go somewhere else, or put it back in its Faraday cage and go somewhere else. So as soon as you use your phone, yeah, it's not like the old phone, you know, you watch the movie, you have to keep them on for 45 seconds in order to get the trace. No, it's not like that. It's immediate now. Because your phone pings its address immediately as soon as the internet recognizes it as being there. And there's an indelible record of that made there for as long as they keep those records anyway. And I bet you with all this, these hard drives and all of the memory, how memory has got so cheap and there's so much of it, I'll bet you they keep everything as long as they possibly can. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that's the tracking and tracing thing. When they start the Mark of the Beast Inquisitions, probably about 2030, is when they'll be ramping it up. Okay. And, also expect, to see the Abraham Accord, and the Third Temple in conjunction, as I wrote in my book, in conjunction with a Christian and, Jewish Christian and Islamic edifice on the Temple Mount, just like they're doing with the Abraham Accord. They've already done in the Bob says, you can get them at Amazon, or you can get them from band.video if you want to listen to that. We do play one thing of theirs in the afternoon. That is the David Knight Show. So hope you're catching that in the afternoon. But anyway, we expect sometime in the next couple of years to start the Abraham Accord on the Temple Mount, because I think they want to get that done, the whole seven-year tribulation deception. I think that they would like to have that done by 2032. So they want the whole 7 years to have passed for all the believers, all those dispensational Christians. They want to get them all in their net. So to complete that 7 year tribulation by 2030, they have to get this Abraham Accord going on the Temple Mount. And that's what I write about in my book. I have a new version of this on Amazon, and it's called The Abraham Accord. We just replaced the first chapter and talk about the Abraham Accord, but basically the same message. I just put it out there as another venue to reach those same dispensational people with another title that I think that a lot of people will be interested in, especially when they start building. I'll bet you that's when when they start building on the Temple Mount. That's probably when people will start buying my book, this little book here. Anyway, you can get a free copy of this by going to my website at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and there's a free ebook tab there. Just follow the instructions and say, send me, and I'll send you a PDF or EPUB version. I'll send you both, actually, so you don't have to tell me which you want, because I'll send you both PDF and EPUB version of When the Third Temple is Built, or the Abraham Accord. I can give you a PDF of that. I don't have an EPUB of it yet. Or maybe I do. I don't know. I'll have to check into that. But either way, it's the same message. Okay? Just a little slightly updated for the Abraham Accord to include that development. Let's see. What else have we got going on? Okay, I've been going through in the second hour, which I'm not doing today, obviously, going through the Audible version of my book, and we completed it, or all but completed the last. I think we completed all of it, except for the very last segment. So that's far enough. And if you're listening during the week, I'm going through it all again. During my broadcasts in the rest of the week. And I'll be doing that and other broad programming through the end of the year. And at the end of the year, or starting in January, I'm going to pick back up and do 1 hour of history. And we're going to continue with James A. Wiley's History of Protestantism, picking up with the Jesuits, because that's where we left off. We left off with the life and times of Geneva, and Calvin's work there, and what happened there. That's where we left off, when we left off during the summer sometime. So I'll be doing an hour of that history, because I want to continue that, and then whatever comes after that. And that's going to take probably next year to do. And then I want to do 1 hour of going through the Bible. It's important, I believe, to get back to God's Word. And we're going to start with Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, starting in January. So we'll be doing an hour of Bible study, and we'll go through the whole thing again, okay? All right, let's see who we have here. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air.
Dave Martin again. I'm calling from Oklahoma.
Okay, Dave, from Oklahoma.
Great. I've got a question. I'm looking in Revelation 13:7, and it says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power is given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, it seems to be limited, though. I think I was understanding that this was the 1260 years, and that came to a certain end. And am I falsely connecting the two then?
Well, yeah, it's the same beast, and I believe to us, the what you read there, what you quoted from Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, that is the history of the beast power. because he did make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given him. But I believe that continues with his revival in the was and is not era that we're in, basically, where he's ruling vicariously through the image of the beast and his shadow government.
I see. Oh, gee whiz, that would have been good. I thought there was a time limit, and then beyond, because first, I mean, it was pretty hideous. I mean, that whole persecution that the popes took.
Oh yeah.
For the sake.
Absolutely.
And it would seem that maybe there's an advantage in where he has to convince other people, but of course he was doing that back then also. So, okay. Well, thanks. That makes sense too.
Okay. All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Abe. Bye. Okay. Yeah. Comments and questions are welcome. And it's nice to hear other people talking on the phone besides my ghost caller, whom I will continue to pray for every time he calls in. How about that? Yes. Because it's a call for help. Yeah. And may the Holy Spirit surround him. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, but we're in that era, and we know that the Antichrist did overtly burn and persecute for 1260 years until that judgment that was prophesied came at the end of the 1260 years, coinciding with the time of the French Revolution. And then the gospel went to the world. And I believe we have the symbolic scripture there that shows us that we had the era, and we're still in that era of the gospel going to the entire earth through missionary works of the church. Okay, let's see. Here we go again. Your name and where are you calling from? Yes. Yeah. Well, may the Almighty visit you and bless you and keep you as you walk in his kingdom on the narrow way that leads to life. Okay. See, need a little prayer? Just call in and we'll say a little prayer for you. Yeah. Some people are too shy to ask, so we'll just give it to them anyway. So that the end of that, and then we know that those judgments came, and those judgments have continued because they repented not of their sins of idolatry. So we have wars throughout the 19th and 20th centuries in the old beast locality. But we see that the deadly wound has been healed, but never again. See, because a lot of people interpreted that as the revived Roman Empire, but no. They missed it. The was and is not, yet is, you know. That's the shadow government. That's the Antichrist ruling vicariously, not overtly like he did before. He learned his lessons. Yeah, he got punished greatly. And we had a Reformation that rose up and exposed him. And now his counter-Reformation project has been going on since then, getting people to forget about the history and the hundreds of millions that laid down their lives, those Bible-believing Christians and Protestants, the Albigenses, the Waldenses, and those that would not go along, yeah, that continued to walk in the true gospel and to believe God's word and put the word of God before the word of any man who called himself, infallible. Yeah, there is no infallible man. There's only one, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. There are no infallible men out there. Yeah. He's the only one. And it's by his blood that we will be infallible on the day that he raises us up. And that's because we choose. That's what we want. We long for the day when we'll never sin again, when we'll never even be tempted to sin again. I long for that. Do you? And if you long for that, if that's your true desire, even knowing you can never achieve it while you're in your mortal flesh, but by faith you believe that you will achieve it when you see him, because the scripture says that when we see him, we will be like him. And we will never be tempted to sin again. We will never sin again. We desire it greatly with our whole being. Yeah. Do you not desire it greatly? I do. And, you know, that's my prayer for everyone that listens, even my shy caller who calls in, that he would have that desire to never sin again, and that to know there's only one way to achieve that, and that's in the resurrection, by faith, to become the seed of Abraham, by faith. Yeah. So, my prayer for all of you. But this is the time we're in, and the lockstep march to the mark of the beast, it's undeniably happening. You know, so, I mean, maybe 20 years ago, you could kind of wonder, is that really going to happen? I don't see how that could happen. But now, wow. I mean, it's so plain, it's so in your face that who can deny that it is happening? That it is, it seems to be an unstoppable thing. It doesn't matter who's president, whether Joe Biden gets in or gets arrested and Trump gets back in for another 4 years. Maybe that'll slow things down a bit. Maybe it won't. Who knows? And they may just kill him like they kill other people who get in their way. You know, I mean, the Antichrist is out there assassinating whom he will, when he will, you know, and as some of his people that work for him are, you know, these people have no qualms about doing things like that. They say if Donald Trump gets in there and tries to slow this thing down and does an America first thing. And, you know, even as poorly as he's done it over the last 4 years, I could say perhaps he's really had an effort and tried to do it. I hope that he's genuine, but I don't know. But God knows his heart. Yeah. I don't know his heart. I only just call him as I see him, you know. And so far he's done a poor job, but, you know, I can't think of anybody else that's done a better job. He's done a lot of positive things, so that I'm very happy about, that I would like to see continue, like child trafficking and all of the arrests that have happened there in the slave trade worldwide, and especially in the United States. I'd like to see that carry on. And I know that Joe Biden and his child abusing son, you know, they're just going to ramp it back up to where it was before and continue it on. Yeah. Yeah. And all the whole Pizzagate thing that's going on there. That's what I'd like to see. So I'm praying that, you know, that Joe Biden will get arrested for his crimes. That, you know, he may feel easy, like he's got it made. He's going to get it now. He's going to get in office, and him and his son are going to get away scot-free. But hey, I believe there's a case being built. I just hope that they can actually arrest him and put him in prison for the rest of his life, him and his son, Hunter Biden. Yeah. But I don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, that may be just wishful thinking on my part that could happen. Just hope for the best and prepare for the worst. That's what we're doing here. But it's inevitable anyway, you know. And we endured 8 years of Barack Obama. I guess we could endure 8 years, or I don't know, Joe Biden could last 8 years, but 4 years of Joe Biden, and God forbid, Kamala Harris. Yeah. Man, what a wicked Jezebel that woman is. I mean, just think of her having the reins of power in the world. Just whatever the Antichrist wants, the Antichrist gets. It seems like he's just going to get it faster. Yeah. We'll see what happens. Maybe we got some comments, questions, or some of you have some ideas or know something I don't know out there in the chat room or in the audience. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. And when we left, we were talking about the election a little bit. Mercury Falling in the chat room says, Chris Pinto pointed out that Mike Pompeo went to meet the Pope, and the Pope refused to meet with him. He says that's a very good sign for the Trump team. I agree. If the Pope doesn't want to meet with you, that is a good sign. Yeah, that he's not on your side. And we have a Jesuit Pope, so... Yeah, the Counter-Reformation is in full swing. And, yeah, we were talking about a wicked Jezebel, that Kamala Harris. But, you know, God can save the most wicked of people. So, you know, shouldn't just pray for the president, but we should pray for Kamala Harris. Maybe God could save her. Yeah, maybe he could. Yes, it could happen. Maybe he will. Not maybe he could. He absolutely could. I mean, he saved me, you know. I guess he could save her, too. Yeah. So she could go from a wicked Jezebel to a treasured woman of God. Yes, it has happened before, so it could happen now. Well, we'll see. Yeah. So anyway, there's a little prayer out for Kamala Harris that she could have an encounter with the Holy Spirit and a little meeting with God there, and that she could consider the gospel and maybe cross the border herself. Yeah. A guy says, Nicholas, where can I go to fellowship without having that pre-trib rapture rattled into my ears? Just where do undiluted saints meet? Well... And he says, who is Mike Pompeo? I think he is a Secretary of State, isn't he? Or is he the Justice Department or something? He's in Trump's cabinet, whoever he is. But where do undiluted saints meet? Well, they meet at your house, my friend. You know, from house to house. Try putting a little ad somewhere on Facebook and say, Bible study. We will sing. We will praise God, and we will read the Bible and fellowship together without masks. And I'll bet you people will show up. And then you could actually take my book, and you could open it, study it, look up the verses in the Bible and discuss it. And I think it would be a good guide for a Bible study. Yeah. So I guess you have to start in your own house, or go find some fellowship where they're a little open to things. I've been attending a Baptist church, and the pastor, since I've showed up, I think he said the word rapture twice. He's afraid now to speak on, and now he's reading my book, and he says he's got through chapter one. He's a busy man. He's a real pastor, so he actually pastors. Yeah, it's hard to find. And he teaches a good gospel message, but he doesn't teach on prophecy at all. But he said he read the first chapter And he says, I like it. So far, I'm with you. So far, he's with me. So hopefully by the time he gets to the end of the book, he'll be with me all the way. And that's what it takes. Just start praying for people. And I have a resource out there, the Abraham Accord. Or if you want, you know, bulk copies, I can get these for like a few dollars a piece from Amazon at the author price, the printing price. So if you wanted bulk of these, you know, just tell me what the Lord gives you to use to distribute that and hand them around and say, hey, we're going to have a discussion, a Bible study at my house or somewhere to discuss this book, and start handing it out to people. And as, like I said, the Abraham Accord would be better because it's a little more up to date, or when the Third Temple is built, either one. And I can get you bulk copies. You know, you need 10 or 12 or 20 or whatever, and start the discussion, man. You know, first read it for yourself and say, hey, you know, this is something that needs to be discussed. And start talking to people. Get a little prophecy study group. Put it on a local Facebook bulletin board or whatever you have in your town. And see who you can get to come to your Bible study, prophecy Bible study. And that's how you get them, man, you know. And you got to undelude them. You know, the harvest is white, and we just lack workers to go out there into the harvest and start making the harvest, guy. So, and or whatever way you have, you know, to get out there and get the word out and do what you can. And like I said, if you get this, if you go to my website and I send you a PDF of this, well, you'll get it in your email, and you can email it to all your friends. Yeah, see, I allow that, you know, but you have to sign up first to get it. So subscribe to my blog, request a PDF of When the Third Temple is Built or the Abraham Accord, and I'll send it to you, and then you can email it to all your friends and say, hey, look, let's have a Bible study. Let's discuss the things in this book, you know, and that's how you start. Okay. And that's not just for Guy out there. That's for everyone else out there. Whoever's hearing my voice. You know, that's always been available. I always send you a PDF of it to your email, and you can email it to whoever you want and take advantage of it there. So you're welcome, Guy. Yes, without having the pre-trib rapture rattled into my ears. Okay, so anyway, our scripture verse today is, has been all day, and we're coming up to the end of the second hour here, and has been Revelation chapter 13, 15 through 18. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So you see, there's not limited to one mode. It's like some people, oh no, it's got to be a chip, or no, it has to be a Lucifer tase, because it could be a card, it could be the wave of your phone, it could be the Lucifer tase tattoo, which I believe that's what they're looking for, to get universal by 2030. But it says that he that had the mark or the name or the number of his name. So that also might be a reference to historical ways of being marked by the beast. Because, you know, if you had a rosary beads and you were praying the rosary, 500 years ago, well, that would be a mark of the beast. Or if you were kneeling down and worshiping the image of saints, that would be a mark of the beast. Or if you were, you know, if you pay obeisance to the papacy as infallible or as God on earth, then that would be another mark of the beast. So, but in this day and age, we're looking at something that no one might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And as I said, if you'll read that in the Mark of the Beast chapter of my book, and you can also read that because for the first section of my chapter on the name and the number, I borrowed, you know, pretty much directly from E.B. Eliot and his exposé on that portion, because I thought it was important enough for people to understand that what the early church fathers in the second and third century said it was. And they nailed it down. And that was before the appearance of the Antichrist. They said the Latin man. And how apt a description the Latin man is. Of course, it's in the Greek, 666, the Latin man. And how precise that is when you look at the papacy. Everything is Latin. They speak in Latin. Their word is in Latin. They've locked the Bible up in Latin for centuries and said that anyone that had it in another language, they would put them to death, burn them at the stake. Yeah. And then they say their mass in Latin. They sing, they chant in Latin. Everything is Latin. It is the Latin. And they still call them today. They call them Latins. I mean, you got Latin Americans. If you are a Latin, you belong and worship the papacy. Yeah. All of South and Central America is called Latin America because it was under the sway of the papacy through his vassals of Portugal and Spain who conquered, you know, all of that for them. Yeah. So the Latin man, it makes sense. And it also, E.B. Eliot brought out the idea that Jesus said he used Greek, signifying the language that you would count the number of 666, the 666 through would be Greek, would be the language, because Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He didn't use another alphabet. He used the Greek alphabet. And why did he do that? I believe that that he used Greek and that the entire New Testament was transmitted to us in Greek because the 70 weeks for Israel had expired 3.5 years after the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. They had expired and the gospel now went to the nations and the language of the nations at that time was Greek. I believe that the language of the nations today has been transferred over to English. I believe that's backed up by reality. It's no longer Greek, but the language of the nations is English. But Latin, a dead language, is used only one place, and that is where the Latin man is the head of everything. Yes, the papacy. The man of sin, the Antichrist. And so that's why I use E.B. Eliot's expose in the first section on the number and the name of the beast in my book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And then, of course, in the second part, we talk about the contemporary use of the mark of the beast. And how I put that exactly, I don't remember here, but it's in my table of contents. So if I look that up, that would be chapter 10 of the book. So enforcement in its final form. And that's what we're talking about today. That's what we see building today, the enforcement of the mark of the beast as a primarily financial mark of the beast. You won't be able to enter a store in 10 years from now. Because they're not going to let go of this thing. You know, they are using it. And people seem to more and more go along with it. They're going to have second, more, you know, greater lockdowns. And now, to get on a plane, you're going to have the vaccine. Probably starting next summer. I mean, some of them already. You know, you have to have a COVID test to get on a plane. Well, that's just going to roll right into the vaccine. You won't be able to get on a plane. Even for domestic travel in the U.S. I mean, I can't get on a plane already. I can go to the airport, but I can't go through the screening thing to where where you board the planes at. Yeah. I can't get in that part of the airport, because I don't have a passport or an ID from a beast government. And they won't give me one. Yeah. Because I refuse to participate in a monetary system that I see is absolutely developing. and is, well, part of the beast monetary system because it's a financial system based on usury and fiat currency, and which digital currency or digital money will be the epitome of fiat. You know, you won't even have a substance paper anymore. The paper is fiat, but at least you can hold it, you can own it, you can control it. But they're going to take the ownership of your money completely away from you. Because money is property, real money, like gold and silver, or paper tickets that say you have so much gold and silver in the U.S. Treasury that's backed by gold and silver, and you can redeem for gold and silver. That's what we had, lawful money in the United States, up until the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury in 1913. That's when the Antichrist got in and took over the monetary system in the New World Order, or the New World, and specifically the United States of America, where he had his capital, Washington, D.C., which he had installed. Read F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil if you want to back that up. You know, and you can get a copy of that by a PDF of it. You can't buy a copy of that book, but you can get a PDF of it, read it for free. Go to my website, go to the Bible Studies page, and there's a resources there, and listed in those resources is a PDF link, a link to a PDF on our server, where you can read F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil. Okay? So, and you'll see. And the Ring of Truth is there. That's all I can say. The Ring of Truth is there. And plus with all of the other works on the Jesuits and how they're working in the world and how they rule in the nations of men and their own admissions even, because we have a lot of works there on, and there's a lot available on the Jesuits and the shadow government that rules the world and the shadow government that works for the Antichrist and the Counter-Reformation, that it becomes obvious what's going on, and more obvious than ever, that this whole Mark of the Beast and the Inquisitions that we read about, no man might buy or sell save he that had the Mark of the Beast, the name, the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, and that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Okay? So they're going to use force. And if you don't go along, eventually, well, it's happened in history. And whatever has happened in history, history can repeat or rhyme. Yes, and so the scripture says that it's going to happen, so I can see it coming. It will be coming, you know. It is coming. It's unstoppable. The scripture foretells it, but that's fine. You know, I would rather, you know, like, you know, 20, 30 years from now, before Christ comes, I would rather than die an old man in my bed, slowly fading away. I think it would be a glorious end to die for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it would be wonderful. I mean, it would be painful. Yeah, I'm sure it would be that. Might have to suffer a while. A lot of people have suffered in history. I'm sure that the Spirit of God would sustain me through whatever I have to go through, or whatever we have to go through, you know. And I would go in there and I would be singing. I would be singing, "A mighty fortress is our God." Yeah. And sing every word of it. Yeah. "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, his word abideth still." Yeah. So learn it. Memorize it. Because you're going to need some of those songs to sing. And yeah, I believe the Spirit will bring them back to your memory. Yeah. Because I know, you know, that, yeah, I know his word is true. And we have plenty of witnesses through history. That's why I love going through the history and reading about those men that died. Get your Fox's Book of Martyrs out. Start reading James A. Wiley's History of Protestantism. And you fortify yourself that way. Or keep listening to this broadcast and all of the broadcasts we here have here on First Amendment Radio. You know, we have good theological reform teaching. coming there from Ligonier Ministries. You can listen to that and help build up your faith. You can listen to Tom Fress as he, his exposés. We have a, you know, seemingly unlimited amount of those to play until the Christ comes, or they kick us off, or put a stop to us whenever that time comes. And plenty of books available there. And just, you know, keep building yourself up in the faith. Keep studying God's Word. It changes you. It changes me. And that's what another thing I love reading about history, reading about Martin Luther and all of the fathers there and all of the pre-Reformation fathers, the Albigenses. And you realize they had one thing in common. They all read God's Word. They all read the Bible. They didn't listen to the Pope. They read the Bible and said, hey, there's something fishy about this guy over here who claims to be the vicar of Christ on earth. He's not following God's Word. And they start living by it and following it, and builds up their faith. And the next thing you know, yeah, they're born again. The Spirit of God, you know, they become new creatures, new spiritual creatures in Christ. They are born again into a kingdom that will never die, will never end, a kingdom that will last forever. And they start storing up their treasure in a kingdom that will extend beyond the grave. That's what we do. That's what God's people do. That's what our life is all about. So we keep doing that. Let me check the chat room here, see if we get any comments or questions. Since the scripture states you can't buy or sell, perhaps the Greek wording does not include bartering. No, it doesn't include bartering, because we will need to trade or barter, because true money is substance. So you won't be able to buy or sell in the Mark of the Beast system, because they can't stop you. I mean, they will try to shut down the black market. The black market may become outlawed. It may become illegal, you know, kind of like meeting in church is illegal right now, and more illegal in some places than others. Because they're not finding the local churches that are meeting. And I noticed for the first time this last Sunday, the Catholic Church started meeting here in California after the governor. So even now the Catholics are becoming rebellious over here in California. So, because they were meeting, I don't know, maybe they had a lineup outside and they were meeting in their cars, and the priest was passing out the little cookie as they drive by or something. I don't know exactly what was going on there. I guess I could look into it, because I don't know if they were going inside. I know they don't sing. They might listen to chants. And they do a lot of repetition, because this priest will say something, they'll say something. I don't think they do any praise singing in Catholic churches, at least not from my memory. They're closing farmer markets here in Colorado. Yeah, Colorado is like just as liberal as California, but I live in a county. And California is pretty big, and we have a lot of counties. And the county, our sheriff here, is a constitutional sheriff, and he says, no, we're not enforcing any of that. And some of the cities might be enforcing it on some of their businesses and stuff, but it's pretty laxed in the more conservative area where I'm at in California here. So, okay, go to my website, make sure you subscribe there. And if you've read my book, please go over to Amazon and leave the first comment there, or review of the book there, because I need to get some reviews racked up there. So, and even if you haven't read it, if you've listened to the audible version or parts of it, just, you know, log in there and leave a review and tell them what you thought of the part you did hear or read. And so I'd appreciate that, and we could get something going on there and help support the broadcast.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app, for all of your mobile devices. Streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.